call the meeting of Senate Transportation to order February 19th, 2013 at 1:33. Joining me today, Vice Chair Senator Dyson, Senator Faircloth, Senator French, Senator Bishop, and I'm Chair Senator Egan. We have two items on the agenda today. Senate Bill 24, Marine Transportation Advisory Board, has a further referral to the Finance Committee. Senator Stevens is the sponsor. And we have the second item, House Bill 15, Commercial Motor Vehicle Requirements. It has no further referral. The sponsor is Representative Keller and joined by his staff, Jim Pound. So we are going to start Senate Bill 24. Mr. Lech, if you can come forward, please. Doug, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I appreciate the committee's taking the time to air SB 24. For the record, my name is Doug Lech. I'm staff to Senator Gary Stevens. I was unable to be here this afternoon, but is interested in me to tell you a little bit more about this bill. Bills go, it's a relatively simple bill. I know that's a phrase we try to avoid here in the building, but Very self-explanatory. It's going to change the makeup of the Alaska Marine Transportation Advisory Board by adding a 12th seat. And the idea for this 12th seat is to designate it for a representative from South Central Alaska in communities of Kodiak, Old Harbor, Yuzinki, Port Lyons, Homer, and Seldovia, which are all on the Marine Highway System's route. Yuzinki and Old Harbor are new communities, relatively new communities being serviced by the Marine Highway System. We also would like to make a minor change to the southeast communities that would be able to nominate a representative or have somebody under consideration to serve on the MTAB board, and that is Gustavus, which is now a stopover on the Marine Highway System. The idea of the bill is to give a voice to these communities. Right now, the South Central communities that previously mentioned are in a district that includes on Alaska and other stops out west. And at the request of the local Chamber of Commerce in Kodiak, we took a look at this and thought that this would be a way to get more voices in a larger area of the state to have a say in the Marine Transportation Advisory Board process. The bill comes with a very minor fiscal note of $3,000 a year, which seems pretty reasonable to add another seat. And that's pretty much it as far as what the bill's about. We do have some support material, a couple of letters from the Chambers of Commerce in Kodiak and also in Homer. And just today, an email arrived from the Seldovia Chamber of Commerce that I believe has been distributed to the packet. So a very straightforward bill with some implications financially, but we don't feel that that's a very overwhelming concern, and I think it would go a long way towards helping the communities that Senator Stevens serves in Kodiak Island and thereabouts, and also the Southern Peninsula communities and the Kenai, Seldovia, and Homer have a greater voice in the transportation process. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
Great. Thank you, Mr. Lech. Senator Dyson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I actually have two questions.
Sure.
Is there anybody from DOT here? Am I correct in assuming that DOT does not have an objection to this? That the rector reflect that DOT does not have an objection. I assumed that because this is an advisory board as opposed to a policy one, having an equal number, it's not like they take votes. Does having an even number ever present a problem in getting a majority vote on an issue?
Through the chair, Senator Dyson, I haven't followed every meeting of the MTAP board, but it seems that the meetings are fairly amicable in terms of getting a quorum together and discussing the types of issues. We had some thoughts about the even number of board members too. And I think it's really just the idea that in order to minimize the cost, we'd just propose one seat for it if it was within the purview of other committees or anywhere down the line to add anything else. That's a different discussion, but we don't think that there would be a big problem with an even number of votes. I've been on some boards with odd numbers of people and some odd people, as myself included at times. And typically there's a few people that miss a meeting at everything, so you wind up with a lot of situations where there's an even number of people voting on something. I hope that answers the question, sir.
Let the record reflect the witness said no.
Okay. Right about. Thank you, Senator Dyson. Senator Fairclough.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Does the MTAP board have a set of bylaws?
Through the chair, Senator Fairclough, I'd have to look into that and get back to you. I know that there's some material I've got, and I don't believe I have it in with me, but I think I've got some material upstairs that I could get on how that all came about and how it was set up. I believe it goes back to Senator, or to Governor Murkowski and Governor Palin, so there's got to be something somewhere, and I'm reasonably sure I have it. I just can't remember off the top of my head.
Mr. Chairman, the reason I ask is I had the same questions for consideration as Senator Dyson. One, we're moving to a even number of board members, which is going to raise the level to reach a quorum. So my second question is, have you had trouble, or has MTAB board, since they're required to meet quarterly, have they reached a quorum at all of those meetings in the last 2 years if we look back, or is there a problem reaching a quorum because you are raising it by a full member by adding this one member?
Through the chair, I that's something I'll have to look into and be happy to do that.
Okay.
Senator Fairclough, anything further?
No, I'm totally in support of what's being proposed. If there are bylaws in place, I would hope or suspect that the bylaws cover the instances of a tie. Some boards choose to function where the presiding officer doesn't vote unless there's a tie, or someone else may have them break a tie depending on what's going on. So that's why I asked about the bylaws. And then the bylaws sometimes cover the quorum, except in this case, state statute is going to establish it that now a board that consisted of 11 only needed 6 to reach a quorum, and a committee of 12 will require a specific amount of 7 to be in attendance, not a majority of members there, but will require 7 to be in attendance. And if there's any issue with attendance over the last 2 years, then I just think that we should know that before it's voted on as far as yes or no. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman, I agree wholeheartedly, and I'll endeavor to get that information.
Great, thank you. Further questions of Mr. Letch? Doug, thank you very much. And I just want to pause before we take public testimony. We have recognized our secretary today, Nancy Jones, and our teleconference operator, Stephanie Gavin. Thank you. We have two people signed up to testify on Senate Bill 24. Trevor Brown, are you online, representing the Kodiak Chamber?
Yes, I'm here.
Yeah, Trevor, welcome, and if you can give your name and affiliation for the record, please, and provide your testimony.
For the record, Trevor Brown with Kodiak Chamber of Commerce. I'm the executive director of the chamber. I'm just calling in support of this bill. We did submit a letter on January 24th to Senator Stevens' office. This has been an ongoing, as you can see from the makeup of the current board, with 13 communities in southwest Alaska. If you look at the other areas of the state, I think most of the areas are 4 to possibly 7 communities represented by an individual representative. We just want to even that out a little bit for southwest Alaska. Kodiak is, you know, we're serviced by the ferry system, Kodiak Island, we're serviced by the ferry system year-round, whereas the Aleutians is mainly during the summer months. So we have different needs than the Aleutian chain from our service, and we would prefer to have our own representative on MTAB. I believe we've had in the 10 years that it's been active, I think we've had an actual representative there for 6 months of that 10 months. So, although, you know, surely Mark Ward does a great job for us out in Dutch Harbor, but we just prefer to have our own individual that we could contact with our concerns. That's all I got. And I think this bill is kind of self-explanatory. Thank you.
Great. Thank you very much, Mr. Brown, and thank you for your brevity. George Smallwood, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Yes. Welcome, Mr. Smallwood. Identify yourself and provide your testimony, please.
I'm George Smallwood. I'm from Fox River, which is east of Homer, and I commute between Homer and Soldovia on the ferry system, and I know we haven't had a representative on this board for years, and I'm in support of this Senate Bill 24, and I think it would benefit the people of the of this new area if we did have a full-time active member. And that concludes my testimony. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Smallwood, for your brevity as well. And questions for Mr. Smallwood? Seeing none, thank you, George, for testifying this afternoon. I have one question for Mr. Letch. Do we have to amend this to include Gustavus?
It's in the bill.
Okay. I didn't, first glance, okay, never mind. You already did it. Okay.
Yeah, and again, in follow-up, I will get the information that Senator Fairclough has asked for.
Great. Further questions of Mr. Letch? Great. Thanks, Doug. If it is okay with the committee, we will hold this bill until our next meeting to get the information that Mr. Letch will provide. Or Senator Fairclough.
Mr. Chairman, I...
Or you have a problem.
I don't have a problem in moving the bill. If the questions come back negatively, I'm happy to speak with Senator Stevens and ask for a Rules Committee meeting to amend. I think the bylaws will probably take care of everything that... that I've asked, as long as there's a process in place so that we don't create conflict, it's good for me.
Great. Thank you, Senator. Then, Senator Dyson, do I have a motion?
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move that we move Senate Bill 24 to next committee of referral. I think it's finance with individual recommendations.
And attached fiscal note.
And attached fiscal note.
It has a fiscal note.
Yeah, it does.
Great. Thank you, Senator Dyson. Further discussion on Senate Bill 24. We will take a brief at ease to sign the document. Convene the Senate Transportation Committee and hear our next item on the agenda, which is Senate Bill 15. Senator or Representative Keller is here along with staffer Jim Pound. Mr. Pounder. That's right. I'm sorry. House Bill 15. Excuse me. I called you Senator and then. Okay, Representative Keller, welcome.
Thank you, Senator Egan, for the and committee for hearing the bill. For the record, I am Representative Wes Keller, District 7, and up in the Osceola area. and I am happy to tell you about HB 15. It's a relatively simple bill. It's one of those, from a sponsor's perspective, is a delight because it has picked up support as we've gone. HB 15 essentially reduces a regulation on Alaska business, and it does so in a safe manner, and it does so by redefining what a commercial vehicle is. By it changes it from 10,000 to 14,000 pounds, so vehicles less than 14,000 pounds are not considered to be commercial vehicles. The category of truck we're talking about here, pickup, is the one-ton, you know, 3500, 35 series, and they're safer, and they're, you know, they're more like a just a regular old passenger vehicle anymore, but they carry bigger loads, and they're well done. The bill, as it's gone through, has picked up the blessing of the Department of Transportation, and it's picked up the sponsorship of and the support, I should say, of NFIB because of the impact, positive impact on business, National Federation of Independent Businesses. The Alaska Trucking Association is supportive, and NORCOM. And so with that, if you would like, I will let my staff go through the, if you want to go through the bill, or if you have questions, whatever you could be desires.
Thank you, Representative Keller. Mr. Pound, briefly.
Mr. Chairman, I think Representative has basically explained the bill in entirety. I mean, I believe everyone here, with one exception, has heard this bill from last year when it came through the process. And this is exactly, essentially the same bill. What we're trying to accomplish, where this will be effective, excuse me, for the record, I am Jim Pound, staff representative Keller. Essentially with this, where we see this a lot, we'll see it in pilot vehicles, where right now pilot vehicles are normally one tons that are especially running the haul road up north. And right now, in order for those trucks to run, they have to go through all the same inspections and same requirements as if they were a full-loaded tractor-trailer. And this will change that definition for them. It also gives 18-year-olds who are not eligible for a CDL to be able to operate these vehicles, drive these vehicles as a pilot vehicle, if they're thinking about getting into trucking and they don't want to spend the money and take the time to pass the CDL, they'll have an opportunity to at least have a year or two to do that before they decide to get into the business or not get into the business, whichever the case may be. I believe in the packet you'll notice we've kind of a little picture of the world of 1,000 words, and we have some photos of the different types of vehicles that are out there, all the way up to the things that aren't eligible, and gives you an idea, because it's also small vans. The other ones you'll see, lawn and garden trucks, perfect example of when they're hauling equipment in the back of the truck, usually they're one-ton trucks. They wouldn't be classified. And the example that was given to me originally when we first started working on this piece of legislation was if you see a one-ton pickup truck that has a welder on the back of it, they are classified as because of the weight. They would be they're not classified. They would not, under this bill, be classified commercial. And they would not have to go through those requirements. And that's essentially what the bill accomplishes.
Great. Questions for the representative? Senator French.
Just one. Thanks. For either the representative or the person carrying the bill, any opposition to the bill? Any opposition on your side when it was being discussed?
Through the chair, Senator French, it was unanimous when it came out of the other body.
And anyone testifying against it or calling in against it?
Senator French, the chair, we've had no opposition to the bill as it's written.
Pretty remarkable. Nice work.
I hesitate to add, this is Representative Keller, but I don't think it's had a negative vote yet. I hope today isn't the day.
Mr. Chairman, thank you.
Thanks, Senator French. Senator Bishop.
I'd just like to record reflect in your support letters. If I'm accurate in my reading of the bill, looks like the Associated General Contractors also is endorsing this bill as well. Is that correct, Representative Keller?
Thank you very much, Senator Bishop. I missed that. Yes, they did.
Okay, and I like the title of the bill, and I'm going to, if I was a little quicker on the draw, I'd have an amendment today to help everybody on this, but I'll follow it.
Thank you, Senator. Senator Dyson.
Yep, I have an amendment if this is appropriate.
Time. Senator Dyson.
It should be on.
Hold on. Maybe we should take public testimony.
Yes, first, please.
We do have two folks online, and possibly we will be having a third. We have H. Thompson, Alaska Trucking Association. Mr. Thompson, are you on the line?
I'm here, Mr. Chairman.
Great, thank you. Identify yourself for the record and provide your testimony, please, and welcome.
Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, I'm Abe Thompson, Executive Director of the Alaska Trucking Association. The Alaska Trucking Association is a statewide organization representing the interests of our nearly 200 member companies. And I'm here today to testify in support of House Bill 15. As vehicles have gotten larger and heavier, many vehicles now fall into the current definition of an intrastate commercial vehicle that has historically not been considered commercial vehicles, such as pickup trucks, small step vans, small trailers, etc. One of the Alaska Trucking Association's legislative priorities is to change the definition of an intrastate commercial vehicle to reduce the regulatory burden on small business, and HB 15 accomplishes that purpose. For purposes of commercial vehicle regulation and inspection, House Bill 15 raises the weight threshold on intrastate commercial vehicles from 10,000 pounds to 14,000 pounds gross vehicle weight rating. And this is aimed at small contractors, lawn care operators, carpenters, plumbing, heating guys and gals, small delivery vehicles, and pilot cars. Pickup trucks and small step vans are getting larger and bumping over that current 10,000-pound mark. Pilot cars are those vehicles that accompany oversized loads to serve as an extension of the warning system for the oversized load, and their work is almost always intrastate and would fall under this legislation. Being over 10,000 pounds currently causes the driver to obtain a biannual medical certification, complete daily vehicle inspection reports, perform or have performed annual inspections, to stop at all open weigh stations and be subject to roadside inspections. The employer must maintain a set of driver qualification files and submit annual updates to the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities to ensure compliance. And the employer must also ensure that the driver complies with all the rules. When over the 10,000-pound mark, these vehicles are subject to federal regulations that have been adopted into the Alaska Administrative Code. When passed, this bill will exclude those commercial vehicles that are not more than 14,000 pounds gross vehicle weight rating from unnecessary regulation. This change does not change the commercial status of these intrastate vehicles for purposes of registration with the Division of Motor Vehicles, and therefore there is no fiscal impact on the state. These vehicles do not need the level of scrutiny that they are typically subject to today. They operate in a limited geographical area and are not subject to the wear and tear of the larger commercial vehicles that the larger commercial vehicles experience. On behalf of the Alaska Trucking Association, I urge you to act favorably on this bill, and I'll be trying to answer any of your questions. Thank you.
Great. Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Thompson. Questions for Mr. Thompson? Seeing none from the committee, thanks, Aves, for standing by and testifying today. We have two more people. We have Emily Goldsmith, Department of Law. Are you present?
Mr. Chairman, this is Onmate Goldsmith from the Department of Law. I'm here and available to answer any questions you might have.
Okay, great. So questions only. Do you have any questions at the outset for Department of Law? Seeing none from the McKinney, thank you for staying online. Next to testify, Daniel Smith, Anchorage. Daniel, are you on the line?
Yes, I am. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Great, thank you,
Mr.
Smith.
I'm Daniel Smith, SMITH, Director of the Division of Measurement Standards and Commercial Vehicle Enforcement. The division supports changing the definition of a commercial vehicle to 14,000 pounds for intrastate commercial motor vehicles. The change removes the regulatory burden that on businesses that have been categorized as carriers operating commercial motor vehicles due to the fact that vehicles have gotten larger and now incidental use of these vehicles or combination vehicles over 10,000 pounds meets the definition of a commercial vehicle. Thank you for considering HB 15, and I am available if you guys have any other questions.
Great. Thank you very much for your testimony today. Questions for Mr. Smith? Seeing none from members, And that completes public testimony then. Representative Keller, Senator from District Q, wanted to make sure that it would allow his friend driving an F-350 to now haul his gear, commercial fishing.
Were you speaking to the amendment?
No, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Just.
Yo. Yes.
Yes, I've seen the amendment. I will report back.
Okay, I got you. Thanks.
Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. Move amendment blank, the unnumbered amendment that's on your table.
So I guess we'll.
I'll object.
As a point of order, could I just ask to be amendment number one?
Okay, fine. And I'll object.
Senator Dyson.
Yeah, in my district, there's a delightful young man who was terribly injured at birth. He has use of one arm, and I'm proud of him. He's got himself through college, and I see him often. At a community hearing on Saturday, he and his father approached me. They have an issue. I've given you a picture of what they want to have. He has a beat-up old Dodge van with a side door for the wheel wheelchair. And what they want is a small bus that, with a side door wheelchair load, that he can pull a camper that also has a ramp and go camping and RVing. His problem is that because it's a small bus that he wants to have to pull, the DMV apparently says once a bus, always a bus, and which significantly affects his insurance rates. So I brought this up with this bill's sponsor, and he said, be glad to fix it so it includes this. His able assistant pulls out the amendment that you have there and said, this fixes it. And so the sponsor is glad or open to having this amendment in. I believe it fixes the problem that my constituent has.
Great. Thank you, Senator Dyson. Representative Keller, did you have a comment before a question from Senator Faircloth?
Yeah, just that I totally concur, Senator Dyson. I talked about it, and I think it's a great fix for the bill.
Great. Thank you. Senator Faircloth.
Mr. Chairman, I'd like some understanding from the Department of Law. Under where the amendment is being inserted, as I read it, a commercial motor vehicle is defined, and then we have a group that are defining it. And so it being used, it means that that's still designed and would fall under the commercial requirements. While if we were excluding someone, and I could just be reading this wrong because we just got the amendment and I haven't gone all the way through, but on line 20, that talks about where things are not commercial motor vehicles. And so I was wondering if the Department of Law could comment on that. Am I reading it incorrectly? Is the insertion of being used as appropriate? Or if we were trying to accomplish allowing a passenger bus to tow a trailer as a non-commercial vehicle, shouldn't that be on line 20, vehicles being used exclusively for? I don't know. If I could get some clarification from Department of Law.
Great. Ms. Goldsmith, are you still online?
Yes, I'm here.
Have you seen the amendment?
I don't have the exact text of the proposed amendment, but I think I get the gist of your question. And my answer from a legal perspective is that if the vehicle is being used exclusively for purposes other than commercial purposes, then it would not be a commercial motor vehicle.
If I might,
as the current bill is written to eliminate the word recreational on page 2, line 20, then a bus pulling a trailer that's been equipped for wheelchair use, as long as it's being used exclusively for personal, private purposes, it's not going to be regulated by DOT as a commercial motor vehicle. Does that answer your question?
Ms. Goldsmith, let me back up two steps. If I could clarify where the proposed amendment is going. On page 2, line 5, it's deleting the word designed, and it's inserting the word being used. And where that's happening is under a description of what is a commercial vehicle. And what I am saying is I'm wondering if it should be down on line 20 where we're eliminating recreational vehicle, and in between the words vehicles and used, that's where being should be inserted to actually provide something to not be included in the commercial, under a commercial requirement.
Ms. Goldsmith.
Through the chair, Senator Sarkloff, I think that this bill as written actually without the amendment covers the situation that Senator Dyson is talking about with a constituent who has a bus that's been modified. If there's additional exemptions that you'd like to put in, I think page 2, line 20 is the place to put them. But as the bill is currently written, it would exclude that particular wheelchair accessible van from regulation by DOT.
Thank you.
However, the issue of registration at DMV is a different story, and I can't quite speak to those rules and regulations because I'm not entirely familiar with them, but I do believe that they have their own set of regulations for how they decide whether to register a vehicle as a commercial vehicle or not.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Fairclough.
Thank you. Then could you provide the committee a description of what the effect would be on line 5 in changing? Currently, line 5 states, and it's under, if you want me to give you the entire statute citation, it's AS 1910F1CII, and that says, is designed to transport more than 15 passengers, including the driver. And the proposal is to change that to being used. What would be the significance in law?
Through the chair, Senator Farrakhan, I believe the significance would be that if you omit the term designed to transport and change it to being used to transport or used to transport, then the difference would just be that if, under the current law, if there's a vehicle that was designed to transport more than 15 passengers, so it has more than 15 passenger seats in it, and you take those seats out, but it's still being used for commercial purposes, it is still a commercial motor vehicle under the law. And if you make the change that Senator Dyson proposed in the amendment, you could have a vehicle that was designed for something else. Maybe it was designed just as a cargo van. You retrofit it to put passenger seats in, but you're not using it for commercial purposes, then it's not a commercial vehicle. If you are using it for commercial purposes, it doesn't really matter. If you're using it for commercial purposes, then it's going to be regulated as a commercial motor vehicle.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Senator. Would the sponsor like to address that?
We
we can take a brief at ease.
First of all, we have Dan Smith from DOT, who probably could answer better than anyone else on the record.
Yeah, we're back in.
Okay. Through the chair, Senator Fairclough. When I discussed this with the attorney over at Elect Legal, the being used essentially had a different scenario with a gentleman from Valdez who wrote me a letter who has the same problem with a 15 passenger or what the Laidlaw refers to as a Mickey Mouse bus, DMV still making him register as a commercial vehicle. And I discussed that with legal, and they said the being used, once it's no longer being used as a to transport passengers, in other words, if you take the seats out of it or whatever, that it can't carry, then it changes the classification as far as DOT is concerned. Now, how DMV is going to react, because these are DOT statutes, not DMVs. And so there's going to have to be an interpretation between two different departments, which...
Senator Faircloth.
Mr. Chairman, I don't want to slow this down, but we really need to hear from DMV, because the issue for both sets of constituents is how they register their vehicles. And it certainly is the enforcement side also on DOT to define a commercial vehicle. But if we're trying to resolve a DMV problem, this doesn't do it. As the attorney stated, what's being proposed to change is specifically talking about what a commercial vehicle is. So it doesn't matter now whether it's designed. I guess it takes one layer off. If it's designed for something, and as long as it's used for something else that is commercial, it would still be commercial. But
through the chair, as I understand it, by it not being used to transport, then it is no longer considered commercial the way that the being used amendment would change it to. Because it eliminates the design. I mean, you see buses running around that are green or blue, or especially the Mickey Mouse buses, you see people using them kind of as RVs. Unless they put everything in there permanent, and which is where a recreational vehicle comes. A recreational vehicle is a totally different animal, according to both DOT and DMV, because it has beds and it has built-in sinks and bathrooms and whatever's involved in there. And that's why we have the recreational vehicle deletion down on line 20. Up here, the being used was, a lot of people buy those buses from whatever bus company happens to be selling them, when they sell them every year, and they convert them into, whatever they want to convert them into, but DMV says that, no, that's still a bus, and it's a commercial bus, and you'll insure it as a commercial bus. And what we figured, we assume that by doing it through the DOT saying that it is not a commercial vehicle, that DMV is going to follow suit.
Sir Faircloth.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'll defer to the chair on what you want to do. I don't want to stand in the way of someone moving the question forward about an idea to help people. But when it comes to the floor, I'll have made a call to the Department of Motor Vehicles, if we don't want to fix it here, to find out if we might be going over one hurdle but not the second.
Right, it has no further referrals, so it's...
That's fine.
Senator Dyson.
Yeah, thank you. I think we ought to do what we did on the last bill. If you accept the amendment, whether we do or not, I'll get into hold of DMV and get it very clear with them. If this doesn't fix my constituents' problem, it does no harm, and the bill can go forward. If it does fix the problem, then we'll have resolved it. So I don't think it's... I would prefer we accept the amendment. I think it does no harm. And if it doesn't fix my constituents' problem, I'll go after in some other effort to see what we can do on that. And it's a pretty esoteric problem. I would guess there's a dozen people in the state who might be in the circumstance.
Senator French, did you have a question?
No, I mean, I can't quite tell what the committee's planning to do. If we're going to amend it and hold it until we get it settled, that would be my suggestion. There's no big rush. We're early in the session. This bill sailed through the House. It's going to sail through our body. We may as well hold it here, get our questions answered, and then move it out. That just seems like the most responsible thing to do. In case there is some further question, we've got it in committee. We don't have to bring it back and look like we're rethinking ourselves.
Senator Faircloth.
Mr. Chairman, we could take an at ease, and I could just go try to call the DMV to see, or take a few minutes to look at the citations, the statutes the DMV are under, to see if we have something else out there. We have the Department of Law. We just need DMV on the phone.
Maybe that's a great suggestion. Maybe your committee aide here can see if we can. They should be home from lunch.
Representative Keller, is that?
Senator Egan, sounds great. It's just delightful to see the efficiency and the working on the other body.
So we'll take a brief at ease. to reconvene the Senate Transportation Committee, and I apologize on behalf of the committee. We're having trouble with LA getting Department of Motor Vehicles to get online, or Division of Motor Vehicles. So what we're going to do is get answers to our questions, and it will be item number one on the agenda next Tuesday. And we will take this up and get it out of here post-haste.
Thank you very much.
If the sponsor is okay with that. Concerns from the committee with that? Okay. We will hold HB 15 until next Tuesday. And anything else to come before the committee? Seeing nothing, meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.